Greetings, friends. I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church. Billy Sunday once said, "If you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere." It's good that this third week of Advent we're considering the theme of joy, because Sunday's right. Christians should be a people of joy. In fact, of gigantic joy. There are so many Bible verses speaking of joy, calling us to rejoice in God. We should be characterized by gigantic joy. Psalm 63:6. "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." Psalm 95:1. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." Isaiah 12:6. "Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." Now, yesterday we saw Mary show us a secret to having joy is to magnify God, to see and then to praise God for how great and awesome and glorious He is. So if you want joy, it helps to read your Bible, because you find there God's greatness is everywhere. When you read the Bible, nothing else in the whole universe is really even that great, because God's greatness is unmatched. Listen to Jeremiah 10:6. "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name and might." Jeremiah is saying God exists in another category of greatness all by himself, and his name has might unmatched. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29:11. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all." Wow. God does not only hold the trophy for greatness, add to that the trophy for power, for glory, for victory and majesty. All that is up there or down here on earth, at its best, only dimly reflects the glory and greatness of our wonderful God, who sets himself up over everything. Our God is not bashful. We find that in the New Testament too, as Paul praises God using categories that can never even apply to us human beings. 1 Timothy 1:7. "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul knows God stands outside time. God is everlasting. He isn't even visible. And Paul simply falls to his knees and says, "From now until forever, all honor and glory to you." And how about the revelation of John, who takes us topside and describes the heavenly worship? There the angels are saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." We see everywhere in the Bible the unmatched greatness of God. The Bible from one end to the other is a call to meditate on our awe-inspiring Creator Lord. Now remember who wrote the Bible. Yes, men, but men inspired by God. God co-authored, superintending everything that got recorded in Scripture. God wrote the Bible, where he tells you again and again and again and again about how great he is. And he tells you to be fixated on him, praising him. Now, it may be possible that you're thinking at this moment, "Joel, I thought this was a devotional on how I could know greater joy, but you've made this devotional all about the greatness of God. And I haven't made the connection to how knowing God's greatness gives me greater joy." How does knowing the greatness of God help me to know greater joy? I'm glad you've asked. Because if God is the greatest, if God is far superior to all created things we know, if God makes crystal clear that He alone is splendid in majesty, unmatched in glory, and all that other stuff, then let me ask you this. What is the greatest gift God could possibly give to you? The answer is clearly Himself, the greatest gift God could give you is Himself. And that is what Christmas is all about. Why we can have such great joy. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Jesus is God in the flesh. God's gift of Himself to humanity. It's no wonder the joy just seems to ramp up when you come to all the Bible passages surrounding Jesus' birth. The presence of God changes everything. The angel told the shepherds in Luke 2, 9 and 10, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And the wise men had no leak in their faith in Matthew 2, 9 and 10. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Friends, if we find our joy is leaky, it may be because we're looking to secondary sources of joy, or we've wanted heaven that is not really heaven, because heaven is only heaven because God is there, our only source of joy. Yes, there are circumstances that we do not rejoice in this life, but those circumstances are prompts to help us realize the glory of Jesus' first coming and to pray for His Spirit so we can know His presence in new measure, and lastly, to lead us to long for His return when we shall see Him face to face. You see, my friend, joy is not the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God. Robert Schuller. Remember who you are and who you belong to.